This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm just going to read a passage of scripture and take off from there. Matthew 3 and verse 1, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, with that term, the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it's right here, right now. Right now. You know, we wouldn't be asked to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." It means right here, right now. Right now, the kingdom of God is here. And no wonder you can't. The kingdom of God is here. It's something. It's here. It's here. It's right here. And in fact, you've already tasted of it. Karen's been moving in it, and we've tasted of the kingdom of God. And that's what we're all about. That's what this house is all about. All of Scripture is filled with this whole thought of heaven coming on earth. And so when John the Baptist went out and preached, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, it's here." He's not saying it's near. That's a translation. It's not near. It's not just close. It's here. It's at hand. It means it's literally here, right now, right here. That you can get a hold of it. And that's what Jesus talked about. He said, from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God is being preached and everybody's pressing to get into it. Matthew 11, they're pressing to get into this kingdom because it's accessible and available right now, right here, right now. No wonder Jacob, all the scriptures filled with these amazing stories. No wonder Jacob, he goes to sleep in this certain place. You all know the story. He's in the wilderness, in the desert. Oh, that's funny. He's running away from his own family. He's running away from his brother who wants to kill him. And he gets to this place. He doesn't even know where he is. Met Jacob, he goes to sleep in this certain place. Uses a rock for a pillow, all talking about Jesus Christ. And he has a dream. And in his dream, he sees the heaven open and he sees this ladder that reaches from heaven to earth, and the angels of God are going up and down on this ladder. And he wakes up and says, this is an incredible place. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the gateway of heaven. This is the house of God and this is the gateway of heaven. We are the only people who can declare the kingdom of God is here. All of the Old Testament is prophetic pictures of what the church is going to enter into. Joshua was told, every place that you put the sole of your feet, you can claim it. Every place that we step, we bring the kingdom of God. That's what you, as you go, preach. You're going, you're stepping. And that wherever you go, what's the old thing? Some Christians go where angels fear to tread. Angels desire to look into the things that we've got in Christ Jesus. Wherever we go, we take the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a house, speak your peace into that house. Why? Because you've got the peace of heaven with you. You've got the joy of heaven with you. The kingdom of God isn't meat or drink. It's not food or drink. It's righteousness, deliverance. It's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we have, and we minister the kingdom of God wherever we go. That's why we're called to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come wherever I set my feet." And so there's this, it's not just some religious prayer that we spout. We want heaven to come down on earth. And I believe that we've settled for so much less than what God has planned for us. You know what he said to Joshua and the people of God? They were conquering the promised land. And he said, there's still so much that you've got to get a hold of. We settle for less. And their biggest problem was they didn't realize and didn't know that God brought them out so that he can bring them in. He brought us out of something to bring us into something. Now, what is that? What is our promise? In your notice sheet, I think I had one before. Oh, there it is, right. In your notice sheet, in Ephesians 3, in the book of Ephesians, I should say, not just Ephesians 3, there's several scriptures that I've printed out there, and it's in the Voice translation. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who grants us every spiritual blessing in these heavenly realms where we live within the Anointed. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he's done for us. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we settle for less. What did Israel do? God says, there's a promise, it's all yours. Go take it. It's all theirs, there's a promise. And that's a prophetic shadow of what the realities are in Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And so just as they had this struggle to conquer the promised land to them, what are the promises of God for us? The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, in Christ. So in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So first of all, that we've got to recognize where our blessings are. So what happened to Israel? They lost hope that they couldn't get into the promised land because they saw a few giants. And they thought, we can't do it. There's walled cities, there's giants, it's too hard, we can't do it. And they lost any kind of hope that they could actually access that promised land. And so all that's left, of course, is to go back. How many Christians where we start off and our minds are literally blown away by what is ours in Christ Jesus. We can barely conceive of it. Israel came to this particular place called Kadesh Barnea in Numbers 13, and they were just about to enter into the promised land. And they said, here's what we'll do. Moses called 12 leaders, a leader of every tribe, and he gathered them. He says, right, guys, I want you to go into the promised land. I want you to check it out. Spy out the land. See what it's like. And bring a report back to us so we know what to do. And so the Bible says that they came back, but 10 of them brought an evil report. God called it an evil report. And 2 of them brought a good report. But the ones that brought an evil report came back and said, yeah, it's literally a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's got everything we could ever need. We don't even have to bring the water to the plants anymore like we used to do in Egypt, because God waters the land. You know, it's continually watered, brings forth. And they brought back, can you imagine this? 2 guys, they cut a bunch of grapes. One bunch of grapes, and it took 2 guys to carry it between them on a pole. Has anybody ever seen a bunch of grapes that big? I've never seen a bunch of grapes that big, that 2 guys have to carry it. You know, I've seen a bunch of bananas that big, but not grapes. You know, and said, this is the fruit of the land. Yep, it's true. And so they brought back fruit of it. And how many of us have had a taste of the kingdom of God? Because I'm pretty sure that bunch of grapes got distributed and everybody had a chomp on one of those grapes. Oh, this is fantastic. Well, how many of us in our spiritual walk have come to Jesus? In fact, Hebrews talks about this, talks about people that draw back after God's called them. And he said, how can we renew our repentance if we've tasted of the heavenly things and then we draw back? So here they tasted of it. And how many of us as Christians have tasted of the Holy Spirit's power in our life? Maybe you've, and I don't know about you, but every time I've tasted of something of the kingdom of heaven, I've had to break through some kind of barrier. For me, it was a fear barrier. It was a fear of men that blocked me from acts. I remember actually when I was first saved that I was so afraid of people that I couldn't speak. And I remember I was in this group and I could not respond because I was so bound up with fear. I was shaking. I could barely stand because of the anointing on me and the presence of God, but I still would not respond to what God wanted me to do. And somebody comes out with a word of knowledge and says, use faith like a machete to cut your way through what's blocking you. And that encouraged me so that I said, okay, I've got to overcome this fear of man. And so I used faith like a machete to cut my way through because it was crippling me. And I entered into and tasted of the kingdom of God. You know, and how many times, and you can all identify with it. God, there's a promise held out to you and your heart's stirring and burning within you. You say, yeah, I want that. But there's this enemy standing, this giant in front of you. Well, it's a giant to you, to others it may not be, but it's a giant to you, a fearful thing that's blocking you. Say, you can't come in here. Or the promise of God is not for you. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're a woman, you're a man, you're a child, you're too old. It's too late for you. You've tried that in the past and it didn't work for you. Therefore, the word of God is not true. If you try this, you're going to fail. Fear of failure. And all of these things that come against us and block us from tapping in to the realities of the blessing of God that is upon our life. We are literally citizens of two worlds. This is not our home. Here we know we are passing through. Kadesh Barnea, it means desert of a fugitive or wilderness of a wanderer. And so it's come to this place and here they are. And you can imagine they are fugitives. They've just fled Egypt. They're so used to being controlled by everything, no freedom from them, and they're just fleeing for their lives to get out of there and didn't realize that they didn't have to be afraid of them because God had it all in control. He had his hand on their lives. And he said, what I did to the Egyptians, remember what I did to them because I'll do the same thing to the Babylonians or the Canaanites in the land that you're going. I'll do the same thing to them. I'll drive them out and you'll inherit and establish yourselves in that land. What's a promise for them? What's the promise of God for you? What's he called you to do? And when you're first saved, you have this excitement. I remember that when I was first saved, this excitement about being a giant killer. I got inspired by David fighting giant, you know, Goliath. I thought, oh, yes, I can come up and say, God brings a few giants in my life and I'll run for my life. You know, that oh, God, you know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. But I know that inspired me. I remember praying, I want to see the glory of God in my generation. I want to see it here and now. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see captives set free. I want to see every yoke broken, every chain broken, because that's what Jesus did when he ascended on high. He said, it is finished. I have conquered. I have done the work. All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he commissioned us and said, go, I'm endowing you with power. I'm commissioning you for a job to do. And what you saw in me, the passion, the drive that drove me, because God's not willing that any man should perish, that no one should perish, but all should come to the kingdom of God. All should come to salvation. He said, you've seen that in me. You saw the passion in me. You saw the drive that I had to go and preach the gospel to those who have never heard it so that they have the chance to know that the kingdom of God is here right now. And wherever you are, no matter what your circumstance, you can enter into it right now simply by believing. simply by believing. There's no barrier that God's put there. He's broken every one down. There's no wall. He has pulled down every wall. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Whoever calls. How awesome is that? And that commission has been given to you, to me, to go and make disciples. Tell. How do we do that? First, you've got to break into those areas. That every place you put the sole of your feet, you'll bring in the kingdom of God. Was it Francis of Assisi? Didn't he pray, Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is sickness, let me bring your health. Where there's war and turmoil, let me bring your peace. I want to go in and I want to change the atmosphere wherever I set my feet. I'm not going to allow anything to conquer me. I don't care what kind of giants might be in that family situation. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that I can overcome through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. I'm going to bring the kingdom of God into that place, into that family, into that workplace. I'm going to bring forgiveness. I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to bring joy. I'm going to bring the power of God. There might be sickness in it. I'm going to bring healing into that place. That's why we're praying. So when you read all of our blessings in the heavenly places are in the heavenly places. We won't access the heavenly realms on a consistent basis unless we first know that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Have you lost hope? Has your experience drained your spirit? What about healing? Wilma, I know there's, you know, a real passion for healing there. There's a warfare going on because there's an enemy in a place where he shouldn't be. Just as in Canaan was the promised land, there was an enemy there that had to be dealt with. But you know what? Yes, a giant. Yes, they're mass walled cities, great armies, but... And the 10 spies brought back an evil report and said, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. They left God out of the picture, totally out of the picture. They didn't know that they were God's people, that they were citizens of heaven, that they were in Christ Jesus. If anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. You know, that's why we teach the word. Do you know who you are in Christ? You are a new creation. You've what incredible love. We're sons of God through faith in Jesus. Nothing about what you've done. Nothing to do with your good works. Bible says they were filthy rags. You know, our show to prove that we're somebody totally flops. But Jesus has made us sons of God. It's my Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Oh, we've got so much to praise him for. And this one of the things of this house, it should be a place where you come together, you just can't help yourself but shout out glory. I mean, if you go to a football game and someone gets excited because a ball goes through two posts and they can't help themselves but express their admiration, excitement. If you can get caught up in a football game and somebody getting a point, how much more can you get caught up in what the Word of God says Jesus Christ has done for us? When we were without strength, when we were without hope, no future, nothing good going for us. We didn't even deserve it. In fact, we deserved the total opposite, and that's the truth. And then Jesus kicked a goal and says, I've made you righteous. You are free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Wouldn't that make you shout? Hallelujah! Praise God. So Ephesians, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in your notice sheet, again, the second one there, Ephesians 2:6, is several times it talks about heavenly places. He's raised us up with him and seated us. This is another thing to get excited about. Do you know that you were seated with him? He's just finished in chapter 1 telling us that Christ has been raised up and he's seated in the highest place. But now he's telling us, you have been raised up, I have been raised up, and now we are seated together with him. Some of those old hymns that we sing, you can hear the expression of it, of that incredible revelation that we're... But it's in the heavenly places with our beloved Jesus, the anointed, the liberating King. No wonder there's joy. Ephesians 3:10, here's the objective. This is, in other words, this is what it's all about, why he's done this. Through the church, who's the church? We are. He intends now, to make known his infinite and boundless wisdom to all rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Angels want to look into this. And I take that to mean not only the fallen angels who are where they shouldn't be, usurpers in a place where they shouldn't be, which is our inheritance in Christ, but it's all the other angels, all the other rulers that God has in place. They haven't rebelled against. God's going to show and manifest his glory and manifest his love and his grace and his mercy. And he's going to do it, who? Through the church, through you and me. And this last one, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. And I like the way it uses that. They lurk about. When you think about someone lurking, they're in a place where they shouldn't be. You know, in Revelation 12, it talks about war breaking out in heaven. And it's talking about the overcomers. And it's talking about Satan being cast out of where? Heaven. And no more place found for him. Who's doing that? Who does that? It's the church. We just read it. That's our job. That's what, just as Israel's job was to get rid of those usurpers in the promised land, get rid of those tyrants in the promised land, get rid of those giants in the promised land, and get rid of those armies in the promised land, so is our job, is to get rid of those demon princes, those spiritual forces of wickedness lurking about in places where they have no right anymore to be. They are fallen. With the high praises of God in our mouth, a two-edged sword in our hand. What do? We start to make war. We execute the vengeance that's written. Psalm 145, I think. We execute the vengeance that's written against demon princes and kings who are in a place where God says is no longer yours. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do it, and he's waiting for us to do it. He's waiting for you and me to do it. And let's bring it, it's not only in a nation, it's in a family, it's in a workplace, it's in a community. That's what we're here for. You are light, the light of the world. You and I are light, and we are salt, and we bring the kingdom of God wherever we go. And so we want to bring healing. We want to bring deliverance. We want to bring salvation. We want to bring reconciliation, where people, first of all, are cut off from God. We can tell them, you can be brought back to God right now, right now, right now. And they say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right now, you can be brought back to Christ, back to God, and it's through Christ. And we tell them what Jesus has done. We tell them the victory of the cross, that their sins might be as black as black, like scarlet, but they can be made white as wool in an instant of time. I mean, you've got to get excited about that, haven't you? Are you feeling encouraged? Do you realize who you are? Praise God. I just want to share this last thing before we finish. And it's about commissioning. You know, Jesus has commissioned us. Commissioning is the act of granting certain powers or authority to carry out a particular task or duty. Well, have we been commissioned? What did Jesus gather the disciples? Matthew 10, Luke 9 and 10. He calls the disciples to himself. And he gives them what? Power and authority. Cast out demons, heal the sick. He says, preach. Every time he says, preach the kingdom, always connected with that is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Always. Always. Remember, we're fighting against demon powers in spiritual places where they shouldn't be. So we have authority over them. So you go into a place and you, first of all, kick the devil out. And heal the sick and say the kingdom of God's here. So commission. He commissioned his disciples. He commissioned the 12. He commissioned the 70 and sent them out to carry out a particular task or duty. What's our task or duty? We want heaven on earth. That's how he's going to bring it. Remember the house? How awesome is this place? This is where heaven comes down to earth. We bring it. Is there a saying? Bring it! Bring it! I love this commissioning in the terms of ships. A commissioned ship is a warship. And I love that term. Ship naming and launching endow a ship hull with her identity. But many milestones remain before she is completed and considered ready to be designated a commissioned ship. Prior to commissioning, the new ship undergoes sea trials to identify any deficiencies needing correction. The preparation and readiness time between christening, that's the name, and launching it, and commissioning may be as much as 3 years for a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. I love that, nuclear. I had to write that in, a nuclear-powered. You know, we've got something greater than nuclear power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be witnesses to me. Are you receiving that commissioning? You'll be witnesses to me. So it might take as much as 3 years for a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier to as brief as 20 days for a World War II landing ship. They had to do it quick there because they need to get people there. But think about, that made me think, why would it take so long? You know, Jesus took 3 years, 3.5 years, to get his disciples ready. You know, all that time, what are they doing? They're finding his heart. One time they thought they had it. Lord, you want us to call fire now, wipe the whole lot out? They rejected us. We'll fix them. And Jesus rebuked them and said, you don't know what spirit you are of. I came to save men's life. And then people would come to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I've got nowhere to lay my head. Are you ready for that? Another one comes, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I've just got to go and bury the old man. And I think there was a lot of other stuff involved with that. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. You come with me and preach the kingdom. And so there were many that were disqualified, weren't ready to be commissioned because they weren't ready for what it took to be involved in that kind of thing. If you're in a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, that's a lot of power, isn't it? You'd hope that the crew manning that ship know what they're doing. You would hope that they've gone through some serious training to be able to handle a ship of that size and that capability as well, because they could do some serious damage to the enemy, hopefully, not to others. But you can see the call of God, of Jesus on it. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Follow me. I'll tell you what it cost you. If you love your own life, well, you're not ready to be commissioned. You're not ready to play with the kind of power that I want to give you. When you're ready to lay down your life, then you're ready for the power that I want to give you. If you're still a citizen of this world, if this world is where you're finding your fulfillment, you're not ready for the kingdom of God. No one putting his hand to the plow, saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's it saying? It's not just talking about your getting there. It's talking about you being one to bring the kingdom of God wherever you go. I've got to finish now. Can we stand up, please? I'm saying all this to say, I'd like you to pray that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in a new light. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are your sons. We want to be your sons and your daughters indeed. We want to have your heart. We want to know what drives you so that it drives us as well. And he does that by giving us his Spirit. His Spirit woos us, prompts us, shows us the Father's love, shows us his heart. And a true son and a true daughter will always want to be like mum or dad. Isn't that true? I want to be like my dad because they admire them. And, you know, we've all got different family backgrounds, and maybe some people have fathers or mothers that you can't really look up to, but you can always look up to God. He does no wrong. He has never done wrong. All his ways are just. A God of righteousness, a God of mercy, faithful. Don't you want that kind of a heart beating in you, that kind of a motivation being the one that causes you to break into places where the devil's got control, that usurper is in a place where he shouldn't be, and God said, I'll send you as a deliverer because you've got the deliverer's name in your lips and in your heart. You know him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Father, I pray, let that burn within us, that we would bring heaven down on earth wherever we go. Thank you, Lord. The confidence as we go into any place or any circumstance or any situation, Lord, that you've made us more than conquerors. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We believe in Jesus. We believe that he came and died for each one of us. We believe that he shed his blood to wash away the sin of the whole world. We believe that he died and that he rose again. And we believe that right now he is on the throne with all power, all authority in his name. And we believe that he has commissioned us with that same authority and power to go and make disciples, to set the captives free, to preach the kingdom of God, so that whoever can and wants to will enter into it. Father, thank you for burning in our hearts. The Lord will go out to our families, to this community, to our workplaces with a different heart and a different attitude, knowing that we can make a difference. We can bring heaven down on earth wherever we set our feet. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.